Our reading for today begins in Revelation chapter 7, verse 1. Revelation chapter 7, verse 1. After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth, that no wind might blow on earth or sea or against any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun with the seal of the living God, and he called with a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm earth and sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." And I heard the number of the sealed, 144,000, sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. 12,000 from the tribe of Judah were sealed, 12,000 from the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 from the tribe of Gad, 12,000 from the tribe of Asher, 12,000 from the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 from the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 from the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 from the tribe of Levi, 12,000 from the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 from the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 from the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 from the tribe of Benjamin were sealed. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst no more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." So when we concluded chapter 6, the six seals had been opened, and the seventh seal has not yet been opened. And then chapter 7 has this vision before that seventh seal is opened. And this vision includes these four angels that are at the four corners of the earth, covering all of creation and preventing the wind and blowing and holding back the four winds of the earth. That is to block the events that were coming. And then verse 2, you have this another angel ascending from the sun rising, which seems to indicate that it was one that would bring a cheerful message or a good message. And so then verse 3, it says, you know, "Don't hurt the earth or the seas or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." So this intervention, if you will, is happening for the sake of the saints. Now, when we get into chapter 4 and you have the 144,000, there are many that try to make something special out of that number, but understand that it's just a signification. It's not a literal number. Now, there's two ways that people take these listing of the 12 tribes of Judah and 12,000 from each tribe. There's one view that says that he's talking about the redeemed under the old covenant from the actual Israel, their actual tribes, and then the great multitude would be the Gentiles that come under Christ. The second view is that this is purely symbolic, and the 144,000 is all of the redeemed, that even listing of the tribes is symbolic. Now, if you start to think about the way numbers are used in the Bible, and you think about the number 12, which has religious significance, and then you think about the number 1,000 that indicates fullness or completeness, then you kind of end up with that idea of this being completely all the saints of all time. And it's not a matter of what the number is, but a matter of the 12 times 12 and the 1,000. Now, if you're versed in your Old Testament scriptures and your history of the Jews, then you would realize that there's something odd about this list of all these tribes, namely that Ephraim and Dan are not listed, but Manasseh and Joseph are. And that may have something to do with the fact that, for example, Ephraim led Israel into idolatry. We see in 1 Kings chapter 12. And some indication of Dan leaving its inheritance, moving north to Laish, where they settled and practiced idolatry, we see in Judges chapter 18. So that may be why those are there, but it's really difficult for me to try to say that with any certainty, to know it beyond any shadow of a doubt. Again, remember that those that were reading this in the first century, who this was written to, they would have understood these things and would have been able to make some conclusions that you and I do not. Remember, we started out talking about how this was about things that were soon to come to pass. So this was specifically for their time period. Then when we get down to verse 9, you have this great multitude that is mentioned, standing before the throne, before the Lamb, arrayed in white robes, with these palms in their hands. The robes of white is pretty evident. You know, that's the idea of purity. They've been purified and they've been made holy, and that enables them to be able to stand before the throne in the presence of God and the Lamb. The palms in their hands is probably indicative of it being a festal gathering. In other words, it's a joyous occasion for them to be there. And of course, verse 10, you know, they're making that declaration and praising God. Verse 11 continues that thought of praising God for their salvation and for what great gift they've been given. Verse 11, the angels that were standing, the elders, the four living creatures, they all fall before the throne and worship God. Verse 12, here they are saying, Amen, blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, and might be to our God forever and ever. Praising Him and recognizing what great thing they've been given by the power of God and by the grace of God. Verse 13, the question of who are these clothed in white robes, from where did they come? Verse 14, Sir, you know. And he says, these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They are pure simply by the blood of Christ, taking advantage of that and being faithful toward Him. Then he makes a conclusion, verse 15, Therefore they are before the throne of God. They serve Him day and night in His temple, and He who sits on the throne will shelter them with His presence. They will hunger no more, thirst no more, sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. He will guide them to springs of living water. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Though they were persecuted, though some were even killed for the name of Christ, they were going to experience the glory of being in the presence of God without any tears, without any more persecution, without any more hardship because of these things. They will simply experience the Good Shepherd providing for them life itself. This great tribulation may be talking about the persecution that started in AD 64 and went all the way up into about AD 313. But it could also mean tribulation more in a general sense. So just kind of keep that in mind. Looking at the fact that this is written to those that would be having these things come to pass soon, then it may be that it's talking about this specific time period starting with Nero. That concludes our reading for today. I hope that it has benefited you and given you some things to think about as you realize the great gift that God has given to send His Son to be the propitiation for our sins, for Him to shed His blood that we might be washed in it, and be clothed in white with purity before our God so that we might be in His presence. It is truly a great gift to have the grace and the mercy of God. I implore you then to make sure that you are taking advantage of that grace and that mercy. And as I always state, if there's something I can do to help you find the way into that glorious state, then I would be happy to study with you and help you in any way that I can. Just reach out to me and let me know. I would also ask that you continue in prayer that God may be with us all.